If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no. Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a guest who is new to the podcast, but definitely not new to the Manitoba music scene. I've definitely heard your name many times before over the years, seen you win awards, seen you playing some pretty big shows. So I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what it is you do as an artist.
I'm a country musician, and my name is Jason Kirkness. And I'm from right here in Manitoba. I grew up in a small town called Kleefeld, which... as you may or may not know, I think has more cow than people.
Nice.
And the land of milk and honey. So we grew up bee farming and, small town rural life. So I came by country music reasonably honestly. And I came up in the Manitoba music scene at a really great time. There was a great punk scene at the time, and there was a great kind of rock scene. Just a couple of the guys that I came up with was like Réjean LaBelle from like a town or a band called Hundredfold.
Okay.
I grew up one street over from Rob Nash.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he's been on my show too. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then my best friend growing up was a guy named Anders, and his cousin is Matt from Royal Canoe.
Cool.
So, the pedigree for music was, and the competition kind of in the area was pretty high.
That's one of the things I find doing this show is just regardless of what genre of music it is, everyone has those connections, right? It's, in Manitoba, it's a big place, but it's a very small, tight-knit music scene where everyone has some kind of weird connection, even if they play completely drastically different styles of music. There's always those little incestuous kind of everyone's in each other's bands or they played on a set together or whatever. It's interesting.
Yeah, growing up too, the other thing is that I think... before you sort of realize what genres you like, I think more so you realize what songs you like.
Sure.
So, you can like Johnny Cash just as much as Nirvana and just as much as, whatever hard, like heavy music. And I think a lot of times for musicians and, for everybody, probably there's a certain genre that like, you don't necessarily want to work out to Dolly Parton.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Some people might, but yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather put on some Limp Bizkit and
right. So with that in mind, though, what was it about country that I know you grew up early, like you said, but you're listening to other things. You're listening to heavier music, more rock stuff, Limp Bizkit, whatever it is, right? Why country? What was the appeal, I guess, of choosing that genre for your own music?
Country music is sort of a thing I think more that chooses you.
Sure.
And certainly for me, it was the songwriting. I know for songwriting, I didn't have you kind of just write for what you feel, right? And I realized that a lot of times I was writing kind of fairly directly.
Okay.
And I think I got a lot of sort of poetry in my earlier songs. And that kind of was something that I wasn't as interested in doing, that I felt kind of forced when I was doing it, like when I was, let's say, in a rock alternative band.
Yeah.
And I'm writing more like, and then I hate to say this because it's become kind of trendy at the moment, but like I heard Nickelback and I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. And I think a lot of it I was drawn to because of the songwriting more so than like the guitar riffs.
Okay.
And then around 2002, my really good friend, his mom gave us a CD. It was Keith Urban's Golden Road. And that was the first time that I heard country music that was really blended well with, a rock beat. There was a lot of guitar playing, but it wasn't necessarily the chicken picking style.
Sure.
It was kind of more melodic and a lot along those lines. And I sort of felt that that was kind of where I felt the future of what I wanted to do was just sort of a blend, not necessarily of everything I found from an indie rock band that I liked and everything that I liked in the shoegaze kind of music.
Yeah.
And that, with that simple storytelling based and simple, honest and direct songwriting.
Well, I think you picked a good direction to go, because that seems like that's how at least mainstream country music has gone in terms of like massively popular stuff is all these days blending some of those styles. I mean, you have the rock guitars with a bit of twang and with a storytelling vibe, and that seems to be sort of the way things have gone over the past couple decades.
It definitely has lent itself to blending with modern music. I know a lot of people kind of complain about the upcoming mono genre, where just everything has a hip-hop beat with a rock guitar and then a country lyric, and like it's a dangerous space to be in when you kind of forget that country fans actually like country music.
Right.
So, you know, I've tried to kind of maintain focus on that while still being creative with the sounds and still sort of staying as true as possible to the storytelling aspect and the things that make it country.
I guess that is like, sorry to interrupt, but I the storytelling aspect, I think, is what makes country country. Because you could listen to a pop country song on the radio, you could listen to a roots country, you can listen to bluegrass, you can listen to country gospel, whatever it is, in any era, that story seems to be sort of the one connecting bit of sound that goes from the, you know, 2020s to the 90s, then the 70s, the 50s, and earlier and earlier. It's all that storytelling thing.
Absolutely. And I think that there's a lot of great people who are doing it right now. I don't know if you're listening to Colter Wall too terribly much.
Sure, yeah. I've definitely heard him, yeah.
Yeah, but he's definitely got a good dial on that right now. I'm listening to an artist called Stephen Wilson Jr. a lot, and he's definitely got a kind of... He's kind of got a knack for, like... He uses a lot of nylon string guitar with a little bit of distortion.
Cool.
But still keeps that sort of... the 90s rock aesthetic blended with... you know, country music storytelling.
Yeah.
And I think as a genre, country music is becoming a bit more open to, like, not necessarily just two chords and a train beat. It's getting to be where we can make those experimental sounds a little bit more and get that into a wider audience.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. I mean, I do know what you mean about the dangers of the mono genre, but yeah. Mixing anything is going to come up with an interesting result, right? Whether it's whatever style of music you're playing, the more interesting stuff you throw into the mix, the more likely you're going to come up with something unique.
Well, hopefully things keep progressing to where each genre keeps pushing on the edges of their own boundaries. And
yeah.
I think that's the thing that keeps every musician, you know, entertained and focused on their own craft and expanding their own kind of their own personal and artistic horizon.
Yeah, I think that's a good point for sure.
If you're holding your breath when your heart tells your head what you're feeling, if you're breaking your plans cause you're barefoot and dancing on the ceiling, if you're out of your body and you can't believe it, deeper than you've ever been, if your world's spinning faster than it ever has, well, baby, then I got you right where I want you. I never felt more alive, yeah. I never seen a star so bright as the ones burning in your eyes. If I could stop time, that's what I'd do. Cause I got you right where I want you. If you're thinking nonstop about what we got, like I am, if you're scared to death, but you know this love ain't dying, if you're falling and flying at the same time, higher than you've ever been, if you don't know why, but it feels just right, well, baby, then I got you right where I want you, wrapped in my arms tonight, feeling like I feel about you, I never felt more alive. Never seen a star so bright as the ones burning in your eyes. If I could stop time. right where we are, baby, you and me. Can we never leave? Yeah, I got you right where I want you. Wrapped in my arms tonight. Feeling like I feel about you. Never felt more alive. Yeah. I've never seen a star so bright as the ones burning in your eyes. If I could stop time, that's what I'd do. I got you right where I want you.
I was going to ask you about your new single, and we'll definitely get to that. But just, you know, in talking about sort of the storytelling aspect of things, because I do find that interesting with country music. Do you feel that Manitoba, sort of writ large as a location, has a specific sound to it? Because a lot of the, especially in the country and folk and these sort of genres, a lot of the people I listen to, Quentin Blair is a good example, Del Barber,
right.
Some of these guys, they have very, very, to me, sound Manitoba. And I don't know what it is. I can never sort of quite put my finger on it. But do you think there's a sound here? Like, I know we're drawing from everywhere else that sort of, you know, shows its face here through an album or through a tour or whatever has, you know, glommed onto. But do you think we have a specific Manitoba sound, regardless of genre?
I'm thinking about like Scott Nolan. Does he sound like Joey Lambert? And does he sound like Ariel Posen?
I mean, they don't sound like each other, but Scott Nolan sounds like Winnipeg, like deeply, deeply Winnipeg to me, you know?
Oh, you're sort of more like how all the Seattle bands were completely different. It was this. Okay.
Yeah, there's similar. I mean, you got Soundgarden and Nirvana, very different sounds, and then like Tad and Green River and the Melvins and all this stuff, but there's a similarity, right?
Okay, so the similarity would be certainly, obviously, our climate.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, the muddy rivers. And, you know, a lot of us probably grew up listening to, like, one group of musicians before. Certainly, we all were in awe of Murray Pulver and the way he played guitar with Doc Walker and Crash Test Dummies. And I think in a lot of ways, you kind of look up to... I'll give you a different point of reference. I grew up listening to The Watchmen.
Yeah,
and
love
their
that
first
band.
Set was McLaren Furnace Room, and I met Danny, let's say 10 years ago, and it didn't occur to me that he wasn't as famous as U2.
Yeah,
because I'd looked up to him for so long that I was like, you know, I didn't know that they weren't a stadium band. So I guess in that way, like, we all kind of had the same influences and we all had like our own, I guess, direction away from those influences and into our own creativity. But that could probably be a big part of it.
I don't know if it's an answerable question, too, because I've definitely asked other people, whether it's people who are in hip hop groups or punk bands or whatever. And usually the weather seems to come up a lot is like that we're sort of stuck being creative for 6 months out of the year. It seems to be a pretty common response to that. But it's interesting you mentioned The Watchmen, because I've had them on the show when they were doing the anniversary reissue of the Silent Radar album, and I had the same thing. I was talking to them about some of these singles, and like, to me, they seemed like they were huge, but then they're talking about the success level they had, and it was, you know, not as big as I think that Winnipeg bands tend to have, like, this, in our imaginations, as younger music fans coming up, you think that they're huge, and they're just sort of Winnipeg huge.
Well, Winnipeg huge or Canadian huge and Winnipeg not so much.
Yeah, that's a thing too, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, the reason we're talking now is because you do have new music that's, you know, going to be on people's radar. What can you tell me about your new single? Is it out yet or is it coming out soon? I wasn't entirely clear on that part.
Yeah, it came out a couple of days ago.
Nice.
The single is, I guess the world right now is so sort of focused on singles that like we're doing one like every 3 or 4 months. So you kind of like introduced the whole album as like one.
Yeah. Piecemeal. It's definitely different than it used to be.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, I love making the album and I certainly also like listening to albums. So it has been a bit of an adjustment to like, I did something a little bit silly, and you know, not everybody always kind of agrees with like the whole thing. So the new single is called My Vegas, and it's one I wrote a whole bunch of years ago with a fellow Manitoban, William Prince.
Yeah.
And we've done a whole bunch of songs together over the years, and hopefully one day we can get back to writing. I know with his schedule, it seems very unlikely.
Yeah, he's a little busy these days, eh?
Yeah. But I feel really lucky with the first two records I did, the first two albums. We had, I think, 14 songs together. And then this one, I did one on the new record because we still have one left over. And even on the work tape, I'll share that on social media at some point. But it's William's voice going, Prince and Kirkness, debatable Vegas song.
When he's a very, very unmistakable voice too, right? I mean, that's a specific voice that I think anyone who's heard him will recognize.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah.
So we did the demo that day, and you know, it was kind of this goofy song that it didn't fit the last record, and I just always really liked it, and I liked that was kind of like the last song we wrote together before he got super famous.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to cut it, and then you know, we didn't kind of have an opportunity because there was a little bit of a break in the whole world.
Yeah, there definitely was, yeah.
I didn't know if I was actually going to ever get to make this record. Originally in 2019, I had some studio time booked for early in 2020, April. I was going to go down to Nashville for the month and make a completely different record. I had a bunch of songs picked out and I'd written some things, and sort of as that kind of like dwindled, then I kind of wrote a few other things in the pandemic. And then, I had my first top 40 song with the song called Anywhere the Night Goes. And then I kind of like did a bit of a pivot because, you know, this happens, which then means that happens, which then means you sign with this management company.
Yeah.
And then they start putting all these things and they're like, hey, that record you were going to make is probably going to be like really good, but maybe it's a little, maybe save those, you know, we need radio hits. And I was like, okay. So we battled back and forth about that. And then I came up with a whole bunch of other songs. So I guess there could have been two other records in the meantime. And what ended up happening was from 2017 till now, 2024, there's only this one.
So, are those other records like potentially, like, do you still play those songs? Do you still play them live? Are they still sort of songs that you feel could come out one day?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's always room for, and certainly with how often we're releasing single songs now, definitely there's a lot of potential for just, you know, they don't have to like immediately fit a certain mold. And again, I can do things that are a little bit more folk, or I could put out like a three song little, you know, over a month, I could put out three songs, like a little more folk leaning or a little more rock Americana sort of leaning. And I don't think that the country fans who love the radio country sound that I've been doing is kind of, I don't think that they're going to go anywhere.
No, they probably still like the stuff that has the Americana vibe or the folk vibe. I mean, it's close enough, related enough to what they like, right? That they're gonna hear some of the same things, hopefully, in that.
My world, spend my last dollar on you, girl. There's something about the magic in this town. And in my Vegas, you're all I see. Come on, slide that shirt up off of me. Let the ice in my glass cool your body down. With the shots and dancing just a little, it's getting too hot now. I'm betting that you're 21. Just miss your flight now. Show you Vegas my way. In my Vegas, girl, you're better. Our passion will burn like a neon dream. The city of sin will be the talk of the town. It starts with the shots and dancing just a little. It's getting too hot now. I'm betting that you're 21. Just miss your flight now. Show you Vegas my way. Shining on the sinners, baby, tonight I'm feeling like a winner. So let it go and I'll show you Vegas my way. Starts with the shots and dancing just a little. It's getting too hot now. I'm betting that you're 21. Just miss your flight now. Show you Vegas my way. City of lights is shining on the sinners. Baby, tonight I'm feeling like a winner. So let it go and I'll show you Vegas my way.
Do you have a preference as far as what style you're writing in? I mean, because I imagine writing something that you are deliberately wanting to get on radio, it must be a bit of a different process than writing something like a folk song that's a little more introspective or a little more stripped down.
Well, yeah, certainly with when you're writing kind of for yourself or for certain genres, then, you know, you can be 40 seconds into the song and you haven't even got to the lyrics yet.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And by radio standards, if you're at 40 seconds and you're not already into the chorus, it's not going to be on the radio then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel pretty lucky that, I've got to kind of do a bit of both. And certainly on the record, it's called What Got Me Here. And, it tells a bit of that story. It has a bit of a radio vibe, but it also has, you know, four or five songs. The first song is called She Loves My ATV.
Okay.
And it starts, well, it's about 5 minutes long and it starts off with, I totally vamped on that, what's the name of that band? Dire Straits.
Okay.
She Loves My ATV.
Money for Nothing. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah. So, you know, I've always kind of been, you know, off stage and out of the public. I'm a bit of a silly goose, but like on stage and social media and all that stuff, I always kind of kept the straight face. And I think the most important thing that we're up to right now is like taking down that, I guess, wall or whatever.
Yeah. So showing the real side of it, right, as well as the stage side.
Well, that part of it, but also that I wouldn't have necessarily cut a song that was talking about like a girl loving an ATV, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's just for funsies now.
Well, that's good. That's probably more enjoyable to promote too, right? If you know the song is just like it's a laugh, it'll be more fun to talk about it. I mean, yeah. At this point, though, I mean, if someone's listening to this podcast and maybe they're new to your music, maybe they like country, maybe they don't, maybe they want, they're curious. What's the best way to find out what you're up to? As far as, you know, you're releasing a lot of singles fairly regularly. By the time someone hears this, it could be 6 months from now, maybe you got a bunch of new stuff out. Where can they find you online?
Everything sort of starts at jasonkirkness.com. I'll have a link to your favorite social media. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I think there's a TikTok account. I haven't looked over there. I heard that stuff's addictive, so I stay away.
Yeah, it's a little confusing for sure.
Okay. Social media is all at Jason Kirkness. And obviously Spotify and streaming is a big deal for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially if you're focusing on singles right now too.
Yeah, definitely.
So with, I know you mentioned sort of earlier on that you like albums, you like to hear, you know, doing the single thing is a little different for you. Do you feel like this record that you're working on, that these singles are from, do you feel that it works as a cohesive piece of music? Like, not like a concept album or anything, but as a, you know, start to finish record, does it flow well for you? Because that's a thing a lot of younger people especially don't even consider, right? Is the idea of what's a record going to sound like when you start from track one and end on track 12 or whatever, right? So is that something that you've taken into account, or are you solely focused on these songs sort of standing on their own as singles?
That was sort of the exact discussion Sean and I had, the producer I work with.
Okay.
Right when we first started the whole thing. And because we had done Anywhere That Goes just kind of as a one-off, and it was just kind of one of those things that, like, okay, your last songs came out in 2018, and kind of around then. And then I took a bit of a gap. I did the van life thing for about 5 months, went all around. I did some sort of, you know, what do they call that, bucket list stuff that I kind of had in mind. And unfortunately, because of all that, I let social media go kind of stagnant and all that stuff. And then I kind of got back in 2021.
Okay.
So I had to get a song out quickly, and I didn't sort of anticipate what was going to happen with it. It ended up being quite a thing. So then we had to kind of rush out a second single. And then that was, you know, what we had sort of talked about earlier was like, okay, now that we've sort of done this, how do we tie that into what I was intending to
do?
And some of the songs I already picked to do for the record.
That 89 dent in the side, I drove it home with one headlight. It barely ran, but it got me here. It was hard as hell, stacking bills. I was almost broken, you could tell. But it paid and it got me here. Yeah, talk about worn out. I've torn the soles out of these boots too many times. Been on the bench, been on the field. I've won and lost, know how it feels. Yeah, that's what got me here. Every dim lit road, every door that closed just kept me moving on. Every dream being crushed, every push come to shove, that's what kept me standing strong. Never took the straightest path, didn't happen just like that. Wouldn't take it back, that's what got me here. I didn't know that summer love was exactly what it was. It didn't last, but it got me here. Fair weather friends, they come and go, but I won't forget the ones back home. They got my back and they got me here. Every dim lit road, every door that closed just kept me moving on. Every dream being crushed, every push come to shove, that's what kept me standing strong. Never took the straightest path, didn't happen just like that. Wouldn't take it back, that's what got me here. Wouldn't take it back, that's what got me here. Yeah, talk about worn out. I've had my heart worn out, torn out through the years. Been on a high, been on a low, I've seen the light, that's how I know. Wasn't easy, but it got me here. Every dim lit road, every door that closed just kept me moving on. Every dream being crushed, every push come to shove, that's what kept me standing strong. Never took the straightest path, didn't happen just like that. Wouldn't take it back, that's what got me here. Wouldn't take it back, that's what got me here.
out. I drove it home with one headlight. It barely ran, but it got me here.
You're kind of asking me in retrospect, like what the plan was.
Yeah, maybe there wasn't a plan. Maybe that wasn't even something that was sort of under consideration.
Definitely wasn't a plan. But yeah, we kind of, I think Sean and I both very conscientiously went forward with what we felt would make a best album, because, you know, thankfully between my own songwriting, some of my friends that I write with, and then also the access that we have to let a couple of the catalogs in Nashville through people that I've become friends with over the years,
okay,
songwriters there. We had a lot more options. And I think every one of those options kind of tied in together to sort of say what I wanted to say and to talk about what I wanted to talk about. And then obviously, you know, with when you put out a record called What Got Me Here, you have to kind of tie that in.
You'd hope so, right? Yeah.
Yeah, rather than just like have it mean nothing.
For sure.
So yeah, definitely there was a lot of thought into like, what's these, you know, we figured between 10 and 12, we ended up with 11 songs. And what do they say as all 11 together?
Yeah.
And we sort of came up with something that told a bit of a backstory and was a bit of a good time. And I think that's, in a nutshell, what I'm all about.
Awesome.
Hey, baby, what you think about getting out of this little town, hanging out in the city lights? If that ain't what you're feeling, just tell me what you're feeling, 'cause everything with you feels right. There ain't nothing wrong with you and me just hanging on. Anywhere the night goes, anywhere the wind blows, baby, whatever gets you loving on me. Right into the sunrise, kiss you one more time, long as it's your lips, baby, I'm good with. How's this sound? A little blanket, a little ground, a little bit of heaven on earth. We can just lay here talking, you could hear my heart knocking, 'cause you're looking so good it hurts. There ain't nothing wrong with you and me just hanging on. Anywhere the night goes, anywhere the wind blows, baby, whatever gets you loving on. Right into the sunrise, kiss you one more time, long as it's your lips, baby, I'm good with. Anywhere the night goes, anywhere the night goes. Anywhere the night goes, anywhere the wind blows, long as I got your hand in mine. Right into the sunrise, kiss you one more time, it's all gonna feel alright. Anywhere the night goes, anywhere the wind blows, baby, whatever gets you loving on me. Right into the sunrise, kiss you one more time, long as it's your lips, baby, I'm good with. Think about getting out of this little town, hanging out in the city lights.